This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence
Taylor! Every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
Good Islanders Thursday.
If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
You're listening to DCR. We're live every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. Ask Dave how he's doing. He loves it. I'm Rick DiPietro. We got Super Bowl champ Chris Canty, who clearly has more in common with Dave's wife than we thought.
Dave Rothenberg nudity makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too. And our multilingual driver, Dave Rothenberg.
Lots of Kevin Durant.
He speaks French because he's from France.
To say today's show was going to be awesome, let's face it, it would be an understatement. We're giving away $250 in the 6 o'clock hour, the 7 o'clock hour. That's right, $500 are going to be given away on today's show and every one of these shows up through next Wednesday. Jacob DeGrom lowers his already historic ERA and Mets fans' life expectancy, all in only 3 innings. Mets make it 3 straight against the Cubs. Gerrit Cole, 8 really well-pitched innings. Another big win for the Yankees. Islanders pivotal game 3 tonight at the Barn. Nets look to close out the Bucks. U.S. Open, Dave, I know you love golf. Tees off today at Torrey Pines. And always on the Thursday at 6:45, we got Knobservations and Did It Happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, let me hand the show off to our resident diva.
I'm the talent.
That is Dave Aloysius Rothenberg.
All right, I thought it started out slow, and I thought it got better as the Open went along. And overall, I would give it 2 thumbs up. I thought it was very well done. But I thought it was a little repetitive, a little slow to start, but it sped
repetitive.
Up
so it was just
through.
The slow. It was slow with the sounder. What do you mean repetitive?
Nah, I thought it was a little repetitive. We've heard some of those things again.
We've heard none of those. We didn't hear Welcome Aboard. Welcome Aboard has never been in the Open. The Islanders theme now is, if I got 2 words, if you're not down with the Islanders, which you're not,
if
I got 2 words
for you.
Be a shame if they lost today.
I'll stop it, please. You know how.
For the record, I completely disagree with Dave's take on the Open, Rico. I thought it was outstanding, and I, quite frankly, don't know how you're going to be able to keep up this pace, man. Every single Thursday, you keep up in the ante. Very, very impressive, my friend.
Dave's attitude right now. Mets win.
No, I don't like it either.
I'm in a way because the dogs. Because you can have them. Tell Ella I'm going to drop them off this morning, like 10:15 ish. I'll swing by. I'll drop them off. We'll include the puppy chow, some dessert, the cages, all of it. So yesterday morning, I awake to vomit. This morning, they're like, no. We're going to outdo ourselves. So 4:15 to 4:15 this morning, yelping, barking, crying, screaming. Fine. I go downstairs, turn on the light. I don't see vomit. I don't see it. Oh, no, there it is. There's the vomit. Great. So corner of her cage, vomit. Take them out. Fun. Now, I don't know if you guys have been, Chris, I know you have. Rick, if you've been outside yet this morning? It's a chilly morning, right? Like, it's not a warm morning outside. It's on the chilly side, correct?
It's a little cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about getting hit with sprinklers dead in the face at 4:20 this morning? So we're outside. We get an alert last night. There's bears in the neighborhood. So I don't know if DiPietro has planted them. So I got my flashlight. I'm looking around. I want to make sure there's no bears. These two legitimate animals, one on each hand. And as he goes down in squatting position to poop, the sprinklers pop up and boom, all over. And I'm screaming, oh, come on, come on. He finishes the poop. I got to clean that. I'm soaking wet. Inside we go. Clean the vomit. Good morning. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah, that's not a great start to your morning, Dave. But don't blame us for that. Don't take it out on us.
Well,
that's
I'm not blaming
fair.
You. I didn't say anything about you.
No, but I know. But I feel great. Like you're taking it out on your teammates, though. by disparaging Rick's Open. I just don't feel like that's fair.
Well, I didn't disparage it. I said I thought it started out a little slowly and it picked up as it went along.
You're being overly critical, Dave. You're nitpicking at this point, and you're nitpicking because you're having a bad morning.
Maybe so. I think that's possible. But you know what? That's what's happening right now. I'm in a way. I mean, I got Jacob DeGrom leaving after three innings. I've never seen a pitcher pitch better in my life when he's not feeling well. Like I think in the three starts he's come out, I think he's had three shutouts in that time. But I am near panic, and I had a moment yesterday. So Ben graduated from middle school on Monday, but we couldn't go out for dinner. So we went out for dinner last night to celebrate that. And we go to this restaurant, and they have three TVs in the front. And we're sitting, you know, in the middle, but we can see where the TVs are. And DeGrom, ordinarily, I probably would have had them put the game on, but DeGrom, I have to watch. So I go up, and they have two TVs on the Yankee game, side by side on the Yankee game, and one TV on the Red Sox and the Braves. And I said to the woman behind the bar, I said, can you do me a favor? Can you take one of those TVs that's on one of the Yankee games and put it on the Mets game? And some guy says, no, I asked her to put the Yankees game on. I said, but they're on side-by-side televisions, sir. He said, yeah, but no, I like to see them like with every look that I have. You know, if I look to the left, I see them. If I look to the right, and I look them dead in the face, I said, this is very selfish. He says, excuse me? I said, this is very selfish of you. I said, you got DeGrom on the mound. You got the Yankees game on two TVs side by side. You can't put the Mets game on one of them? And finally, he's like, fine. If you always have to be right, if you always have to win the battle, put the Mets game on one of them. You can't disagree with my tact there, right? And then they put the Mets game on, and then DeGrom leaves at the end of three innings, and I get texts, and I'm upset, and dinner takes a turn for the worse. But that's what I got going on.
Chris, you know what's happening here, right? Like, you can see where this is headed. Like this whole like, oh, it's going to be so cute to get two puppies. Like they're going to enrich our lives and the kids are going to be happy because they'll take care of them. And that we're doing such a great thing. We don't want to split up the brother and sister. Like this is all headed down, I mean, a road where Dave at some point gets beat up by somebody. Like this is what's going to happen.
Wait, you think I'm wrong that the man needed the Yankees game on side-by-side televisions? How could you not take my side in this?
You know what? I'm taking your side. I agree with you 100%. All I'm saying is in that moment when you look at somebody square in the eyes and tell them that they're being selfish.
He is.
You're going to get punched in the face. Like you're not.
Yes.
It's not Chris Canty at his size saying, hey, buddy, like we're putting on the Mets game. You're being selfish. This is you, Dave Rothenberg.
Right.
Like, you're not the most intimidating guy.
No, but it's not like I was looking at a Chris Canty type of sized person and staring them in the face. It was a man smaller than me. And I figured, if, you know, I got Ben there, Ben Strong, if this turns to some kind of a rumble, I could probably be okay against this guy.
Because that's what you want.
No, it's not what I was going
to see. You want to have your kid see you get beat up and he has to jump in to save you.
You've never seen me get angry, though. But no, I wasn't looking for that. I was just being honest. At that moment, I couldn't think of something more selfish. I would never do that. I need to be able to see the Mets out of each eye. What kind of a comment is that?
No, Yankees out of each eye, not Mets. You would like to see the Mets out of each eye.
No, I'm saying, but I would never say, like, no, we can't turn the Yankees on. I need to see the Mets out of each eye.
No. Because I want to see both. Especially when you got Cole and DeGrom of them on the same night.
Oh, that's right.
It's great.
Dave, that was three, and he actually says it, that every pitch in that third inning hurt. That was three perfect innings where he struck out eight.
And drove in a run, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Just sprinkling an RBI. No big deal.
Yeah, but I'm panicked. I mean, this is the third start this year, the second in a row that he can't continue, and he doesn't feel well. Can we please shut him down for a little while, guys?
Well, here's the problem, though, with him, is they let him do whatever he wants, pretty much. Like, it's, oh, hey, you got a your lat sore? Okay, you can, you know, we're going to deal with that, but at the same time, we're going to let you go take, ground some infield work during batting practice. Just do whatever you want. Oh, your flexor tendon hurting a little bit? No, you know, make your next start. Like, you don't think those go hand in hand? Like, you have soreness in your flexor tendon, and then all of a sudden you go out on regular rest and pitch, and are you surprised that his shoulder was sore?
No, and that's the thing. I feel like him the way I feel like when I watch, you know, Stanton every time he, like, runs the bases or plays the field or something.
Like last night? Run it to first base when he ran it to Vlad Jr.?
Right? No, yeah. But I'm terrified at every single moment with this guy because he's so good because we've never seen anything like this. And every start, I'm like, oh, God. And you know what? It's happening too often now that he can't make it through starts because he's banged up.
Well, I mean, it's worked its way down his side. I mean, if you think about it, go back, right? It started with his right side.
Yep.
Then it
I thought it
down.
Started with his lat. Didn't he have a lat
Said, yeah, they said side. But it was like right side. Then it was, this elbow. One's different. It's lower in the back. And now it's elbow and shoulder. So it's pretty much worked its way throughout the entirety of his right side now. And he still manages to go out there and pitch the way he pitches. I don't know what you do. I don't know if, like, I heard Carlin talking yesterday, or I saw him tweet something yesterday, like, shut him down till after the All-Star break. I don't know if that's the answer either, but because he's so important to your team. But, I mean, this is something we talked about after last start, where he had problems with his elbow. I know he's telling you, because, I mean, he's a competitor, man. He wants to be out there and helping his teammates, because he's so, I mean, he's having a historic season. Like, he's on pace to have one of the, maybe the greatest season we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like he's going to slow down unless it's injuries. Like, I know you want to be out there, but, I mean, you're way too important for us to just let you dictate what you want to do. Like, you're telling me your elbow's a little bit sore, the way you throw? You're throwing 100 miles an hour. Like, and it's not even close. Him throwing 100 as consistently as he throws, there's no one in the league even close to what he's doing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's special, man. And here's the thing. I know it's a fine line between making sure that the best pitcher on the planet is happy and you're handling them the right way and you have a good relationship with him, but you also have to protect the player from himself. And I feel like we're getting to that territory with Jacob DeGrom because, Rico, you mentioned it. Since early May, it seems like every week we're dealing with something, and now you've got consecutive starts where he's had to be pulled early or earlier than, you know, his production would suggest he should be pulled out of the game. And it just feels like the Mets, based on where they're at right now, being 10 games over 500, it just feels like this is a situation where you got enough cushion where you can afford to shut him down for a start or two. Like, I just feel like that's the direction that Rojas and the Mets brass should go in, because right now the only thing that seems like it can derail your season is an injury to the guy that's the front runner for the NL MVP.
But it's not like you're not getting good and even if you weren't, you have other guys that are pitching at a wild level right now. I mean, Stroman has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Walker has been great. Peterson pitched well. Lucchesi has been much better. But yeah, you have a lead in this division. I'm sorry. If I have to shut him down and do testing until I can do no more testing, I have to find out what's wrong with this guy. So I have to err on the side of caution every day of the week.
Yeah, but Chris, how many times has this happened to you, right? Like during the course of your career, where it starts off as, you know, one thing, like, my hamstring is tight. And then you rush back. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's not the hamstring anymore. Now you hurt your calf. Like, it's all connected. But I think you also have to take into account, Dave, like, we're sitting here talking as Mets fans. I was actually listening to something yesterday with, Trevor May was on a podcast. Because I think a lot of people think that, you know, Jacob DeGrom is kind of like this guy who really doesn't pay much attention, kind of like unassuming, like he just goes out there and does his job.
Right.
But May was actually saying they were in the clubhouse, and it was him, Loop, and DeGrom in the clubhouse. And they said they were in Atlanta. So the Atlanta broadcast was just like for, you know, 5 straight minutes talking about how great DeGrom was. And then I guess, you know, May looked over at Loop, and Loop's like, nah, he's the greatest pitcher on the planet. And then, like, they looked over at DeGrom, and DeGrom was kind of gave it like this. Like, if you see me in the Zoom, like, kind of gave it like the, like the shrug, like, yep, that's right. Like, he knows what's going on right now. So, like, we're sitting here talking, like, what's in the best interest of the Mets, but I think Jacob DeGrom also realizes, like, what he's in the middle of right now.
Yeah, he's putting together a masterpiece season.
Yes.
Like, and you don't want to take that away from him if you're the organization. Like, this guy is at historic heights. Like, I mean, you have to compare him to the greatest pitchers of all time based on the season that he's having, because none of his contemporaries are anywhere close. So as an organization, you'd hate to take that away from him in any capacity. Like, you don't want to have him have to miss starts, and it's not anything that's structurally wrong with him. But again, if we keep pointing to different things here and there with every single start, at some point those little things are going to be something big, and that's the thing that I don't feel like the Mets can afford based on where they're at right now and the way this team is trending. Because you got a golden opportunity if you're the Mets right now. Like, this team is right now head and shoulders above any other team in the division, and if you can just keep up at this pace and get into a playoff series with the top three in your rotation, I mean, listen, the Mets can do some damage. But if Jacob DeGrom is not healthy, then all of the things, all the aspirations that this team has, all the potential that this team has, goes out of the window. Because you're not winning a playoff series without Jacob DeGrom. That's not happening. So you got to make sure that you do everything that you can to make sure that this guy is around for the season in its entirety.
See, that's the thing, too, though. I mean, we're talking about, like, you know, historic numbers and everything else. But, You know, what you also have to look at, too, is what he's doing velocity-wise from a starting pitcher. We never seen like consistent. We never seen anything like this before.
You never seen it ever.
No, ever. Like his average four-seam fastball is like, you know, close to 100 miles an hour. It's like 99 point something miles an hour, which is insane to be able to do. Go back to that Padres game. He threw 33 pitches, 100 plus miles an hour.
That's crazy.
Out of 80.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. So like when you're like, when you're putting that much stress on your arm, like the littlest things can become big things. And I would hate in the middle of this kind of season for him and the potential for the Mets with where they're at right now, the way
that
they're playing.
You got to think big picture.
You have to.
You can't. And I know he's having a legendary season. And for me, guys, there's nothing more exciting in sports than a day that Jacob DeGrom starts. I love it. Really. Like my whole day is planned about it. I made sure, right, to get the game on. I'm thinking about it. When are we going to go to dinner? Can I watch the first inning at home? All that stuff. But you have to err on the side of caution. You have to. He's too good. He's too important. So if it means shut him down for a little bit, then so be it. And fortunately, you're in a position where you can probably afford that for a couple of turns around the rotation. 800-919-3776. We'll hear from DeGrom. We'll get it to the Yankees. Huge Islanders game tonight. Huge Nets game as well. This is a very busy Thursday. 800-919-3776. Little observations. Some did it happen in Florida. A lot of phone calls. A lot of sound. Oh, and by the way, cash. We're giving away that just cash today on the show.
$250. Is there anything better than fresh cash, Dave?
Nothing. $250 in the 6 o'clock hour. $250 in the 7 o'clock hour. And just to let you know, for my teammates, my great teammates to pick me up, as the show goes on, my performance very likely will continue to get worse and worse and worse. I have to go to the doctor today at 8:30. I'm not allowed to eat anything.
What, colonoscopy? What do you got going on?
No, just a regular like annual checkup.
But they're doing all the blood work. Prostate though too.
Oh, I'm sure that. Why do you run there?
Well,
though?
Between that and the thermometer, something's going up there.
Yeah,
probably find one up there still.
Well, I don't think there's anything up there. But I'm not allowed to eat because they're doing all my blood work this morning.
So no protein bar this morning?
Nothing. I am thermometer boy right now.
Yeah, but at least you get, I mean, 8:30 is not bad. Like, I don't eat during the show. Like, 8:30 is not terrible.
You have nothing until 8:30?
No, I don't have any. No, probably later than that. I probably have something like 11, 10:30, 11.
You don't eat till 10:30 or you're up for 9 hours before you eat something?
Isn't that crazy, though, that we're up that long? Yeah, because I mean, I work out, then I'll do something after the show, and then I'll have a shake or something after that. The worst is when, Chris, how bad is it when you get that, like, the last surgery? Like where you like get your surgery's at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they tell you.
Oh, I hate that. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You gotta be the first case. You have to be the first case, Rico.
You can't eat all day. It's terrible. Yeah. But that's what I got. 8:30 this morning. So all right.
Don't lash out, please. Just be nice to us. Like we'll help you.
I'm gonna try. I can't make no promises though. But the fact that we're giving away cash will put me in a better mood.
Hours into the open and you destroy it.
I'm the talent.
You are such a diva. It's unbelievable. This podcast, these dogs, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Really? You think I'm a different person? I was on K yesterday. I was phenomenal, by the way.
I want to hear some of that. I was rave reviews that you brought it.
Really?
Dude, like I was so proud, and then I got you know, tweets about Peter and private jets.
Well, yeah, I didn't chime in on that. His I mean, just bougie. But I was legitimately furious with Peter.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
I'm driving, and of course, as we all do, we consume the K-Show. Don's doing his list. I'm all excited. He revisited the best performances in New York sports, and which one are you taking off? You taking off Clyde, you taking off Phil Sims, and Peter, matter-of-factly, well, you take Phil Sims off. And then he goes as far as saying, Phil Sims was just Trent Dilfer. I was seething.
You know that drop where Don says, I'd smack your face dead?
I'd smack your face dead.
I would punch you right in the nose. If I were you, I would just pack up and go home. You shouldn't continue to do the show. It's a terrible take, Peter. It's a horrendous take.
This is DCR.
The dogs are really the cause of all of this.
But I can't fight them.
I can't fight
on 98.7 ESPN.
What you know about rolling down in the deep when your brain goes numb?
You know, I stand by what I said and did to Rosenberg. The more I think about that take, it's such a terrible take that Phil Simms was a game manager in Trent Dilfer. It was such a repulsive take by him, who grew up as a Washington football fan, by the way.
Yeah, it's not his finest moment, Dave. I mean, let's face it. You're talking about the mid-80s when Phil Simms had that performance, and, you know, Rosenberg probably wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to football back then. Just saying. I mean, I was 4 years old when that happened. So I can understand how that performance wouldn't be etched in his mind the way it is in yours. But everybody remembers what Eli Manning did in those two Super Bowls that happened in the 2000s. Everybody remembers the throw to David Tyree. Everybody remembers the throw to Mario Manningham. So not trying to defend Peter because it's a ridiculous take, but I think that's where he was probably coming from.
Dave, quickly.
Yeah.
Phil Simms, Super Bowl. Give me his numbers.
22.
It was 22 of 25, 268, and three touchdowns?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
88% completion percentage.
That's not bad. Biggest game, biggest moment. That's not bad.
Yeah, not too bad. Oh, ridiculous. Time. I'm so angry about that. I can't get over that. Time now for
Punch
Straight Talk.
Punch you right in your nose.
By Straight Talk Wireless. Well, such a horrendous take.
I would punch you right in the nose.
You should quit the show.
He should have. He should have. You know what? He should have said, listen, my dog's not feeling well. I'm going to be done. The take is so bad. Let me just have the rest of the day off. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Spicy. Wow. You are spicy, man. This is different.
Yeah,
I kind of like it. I'm actually falling in love with this, Dave.
Really?
Yeah. Like you're not a wallflower. Like, this is, you're steadily standing up for yourself.
Wait, you looked at me as a wallflower?
No, not a wall, but you're just like, you're not a big confrontation guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure in the past, I've known you where I don't think you would, like, insult someone the way you just insulted Peter. Like, you'd come on and be like, no, that's a bad take.
You know what it's like? I don't think it would be much different if he was on the K show saying, you know what? You know who's a repulsive-looking child? Ben Rothenberg. Like, that's, like, when I heard that, I had the same visceral reaction. Like, I can't, how dare you make a statement like that? And I went like a mama bear. I went on the attack.
So you felt like by him saying what he said about Phil Simms, comparing him to Trent Dilfer, was like him attacking a family member?
Yes.
That's what it felt like?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
At that moment, that's how angry I was.
You never
and
know
I
how
can tell
kids,
based
kids,
on the reaction.
Though. Although his bar mitzvah gift would kind of point, lean towards he doesn't have much respect for them.
Mm.
Well, I think that's obvious. You didn't even go to the bar mitzvah and gave considerably more than Peter.
I gave a nice gift, didn't I?
It was a lovely gift. A lovely gift.
I was trying to get him a baseball glove.
And then what makes
too.
Matters worse is he was so proud about it and started discussing it live on the radio. Like, if you under gift, I wouldn't think that would be something you would bring attention to.
But especially if you've had one. Like, Peter's had a bar mitzvah. Like, dude. Like, don't you know, or like at least to ask? Like, I didn't know, so I asked. Like, I don't know. Usually, I've just coming out of I came out of the floor, and like, I don't remember what I gave for a gift. So I just asked, like, what should I do? I was even trying to get him a baseball glove made.
Oh, that would be unbelievable.
It wouldn't have been done in time. So I was like, I didn't realize it would take as long as it was going to take to get it made. That's why I asked. Remember when I asked you what colors his team was?
Yep.
I was trying to get him a custom glove made.
See, that's a lot of thought that goes into something like that.
Well, I know he loves baseball, and you tell him all the time we talk, he's always practicing. He's down in the basement practicing. So I was like,
I didn't tell you what happened. I tried to shield you guys from this the other day. I told RJ, but I didn't tell you. But I guess I probably should, right? Now that I brought it up on air,
I think you have to.
So he's at you would have felt terrible. He's at a baseball tournament, and sixth inning, two outs, we're down a run. He plays shortstop, line drive. But it skips right in front of him and towards the side. And he dives for it. And it was not on a good field. Must have hit something bad.
Face?
Hop. Nose.
Oh! Bloody?
He's lifeless on the field. And I'm like, oh, God. And there's those, I don't know if you've even had them yet because your kids are so young. But this was really the first one. I was like, oh, God, do I go out? I was like, nope, you can't get up. You can't go out. Finally, teammates go check on him. They kind of shake him, move him, gets up. Dripping blood from the nose. Dripping blood. And I'm like, oh, God. So he comes in, the ice, you know, tissues, all of it. And my favorite thing about this, and I'll remember it forever, he sits on the bench, they get him iced, the head's back, people are tending to him. He goes, I bet third next inning. Can I still bat? And the coach says, "Yeah, if your nose is not bleeding, if we've subsided the bleeding by that point, you can still go up and bat." But I was so proud of him at that moment.
Look at him channeling his inner Kevin Pillar. How about that?
Yeah, his Kobe moment. I'll go shoot the free throws.
Yeah. Ugh. Now he did go to strike out in that at bat, but still he took the at bat. I was
probably good. I could probably barely see straight after getting.
Yeah, he was like shaking his head and his eyes were
face
watery.
With a ball.
Oh, it was I felt.
Speaking
so
of which,
bad for him.
How about Dave? How about VR stealing second base and just taking the throw right directly
right
in the
off
ear hole?
The ear. That might be worse than getting hit in the nose, like right off the ear,
straight in the ear.
You ever like get punched in the ear or like take a shot in the ear? It hurts so much.
Yeah, well, the temple. I mean, the temple's nice too. We've seen how that turned out for me. Night, night.
Yeah, that's not great. But oh god, yeah, these athletes are incredible.
But tell me you don't get nervous. Like even the field that we practice on, like when we're doing infield practice with the kids, the fields are like you take for granted how beautiful these major league fields are.
The major league fields are, yeah.
Like how true the ground balls are. Like all it takes is one little, like you know, one rock ball hits that and go boom before you know it, right in your face. You did the right thing though, sitting there. Just be patient.
But
the team check on
nervous.
Him. Of course you were nervous. He took a ball off the face.
But I didn't want to be that parent that like because that's I always laugh at that parent that goes running on the field like oh is you okay are you okay
Dave we had a parent in soccer that would go out whenever and the kid would do this like at least four or five times a game would like lay on the field and have like a breakdown and the mother would come out with fruit snacks.
to the field. Is your ankle hurt? No, Mom, I'm okay. Would you like apple slices? Oh, okay.
No, it was fruit snacks. Every time it was fruit snacks, like, get back involved.
It was like
he needed the snacks. Yeah, it's like, here you go, have a couple fruit snacks. Get back in there. He's like, okay, thanks, Mom.
I've seen parents carry kids off the field, like a dad run onto the field, scoop their child up, and run off with them in their arms.
I've seen that. That happened to my cousin. His dad came, picked him up. Such had a moment where he was taking this was like a lazy fly ball to center field. I don't know if he caught the sun or whatever it caught. Didn't even touch his glove, hit him square in the face, right in the nose. It's bleeding. And rather than go down in typical Such fashion, he starts running around the outfield screaming, don't take me to Winthrop Hospital. Don't take me to
Winthrop. Oh, man.
Now, did he just not want to go to the hospital, or is there something about Winthrop that the doctors have known that they're bad over there?
No, it's not a great – yeah, I don't think Winthrop Hospital is a great hospital, but that was like the first thing that came to his mind is don't take me to Winthrop Hospital.
Don't take me there. Let's go to Devin in Strubo. Good morning, Devin. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Glad you're doing well. Chris, thanks for the ring. A couple of things, if I may. One, I agree with you, Dave, that the Phil Sims thing in the Super Bowl is one of the biggest playoff performances ever. I think our friend Mr. Rosenberg is just a little salty that the Washington football team doesn't have as many championships or isn't as good as us. A lot of people know how big that stage is and how important that 22 of 25 is. And then for him to bring up the length of the passes, I think was a little asinine. Second thing, if I may, I saw yesterday, and there's a lot of trades about Damian Lillard and Luka Doncic, and I'm wondering what you boys would give up to go get either one of them and who you would keep and things like that.
For a kidney? I mean, what are you looking for? Especially for Doncic. Like, could you imagine?
Either one of those guys, you're talking about the Knicks being in contention for the Eastern Conference Finals next year. Either one of those.
Depending on what you have to give up, though. Doncic, you'd have to give up. I can't imagine. I mean, that would cost you whatever they want, really.
Yeah, but how great would it be, though, Rico, to end up getting Luka Doncic after the Dallas Mavericks traded for KP in order for him to be Doncic's running mate down there in Dallas? How great would that be as a Knicks fan?
Luka Doncic is 22 years old, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. 22. He's unbelievable, man. He's unbelievable.
And he's mad now, too. You see that? They fired Donnie Nelson. He's all pissed off.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Could you imagine if they moved on from Doncic and traded him? Not that they will. And Porzingis was left holding the bag there in Dallas. What a treat that would be.
Dave. That's what I'm saying. And it doesn't seem like it's that far-fetched because we know with NBA stars, if those guys come out and say they don't want to be there, then they're going to be able to move on. They write their own ticket in that league. It's a players' league. And with that article that came out last week in The Athletic, like, things are not all rosy down there in Dallas. They're not.
No, I could see him signing that. See, what I would do, and it would be, I mean, it's not the right thing to do, but is you sign the...
No, it's the right thing to do. Go ahead and say it. It's the right thing to do.
You sign that Supermax, and then you get yourself out.
Yes, sir.
How about this, too? Could you imagine how pissed off you would be right now if you were Donovan Mitchell or Jason Tatum? Not being on one of those all-NBA teams, you lost $33 million.
That's a problem.
They should eliminate that, by the way.
They have to. How they agreed to that in the first place is ridiculous to me.
Well, you agree to it when you see these salaries for these Supermaxes, though, Rico.
No, I know, but just could you imagine, like, the people, like, it would be like, I would have to see every single person that voted on these all-NBA teams.
Oh, you want more accountability?
Yeah, like, I need to know, like, it costs me money now.
Yeah.
But it's not even like you got like $100,000. You're like, all right, listen, for these guys, $100,000. But $33 million?
Yeah, you're going out your way to be nice to all the media members if you're those guys.
Whatever. Rolexes, whatever you need.
Fruit snacks for everybody.
Yeah, let's get a coffee, sit out, and have a conversation, whatever you need.
The blue in that shirt really brings out your eyes, dude. That is it's a phenomenal look. Can I buy you some extra shirts just in case? Let's go to Tommy in the car. Good morning, Tommy. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Kenty, my brother. Thank you so much.
My man.
Dave, don't downplay the dads that run out into the field. I did it. My son was playing football in the scrum. He's crying. My arm. I'm afraid. Kids are savages. I'm gonna let you know that right now. Little kids that play football, they play it wrong. They're little savages. But to the point, certain things I don't know, what I like to ask you the questions is, as far as I'm a Yankees fan, I do follow the Mets sometimes. Question number one is, does the medical staff ever change during, let's say, coaching changes, managerial changes, staff changes?
It can.
And second part is, do we blame the medical staff? Because it seems like a trend for the Mets. Johan Santana, medical issue, can't play for the rest of his life. Matt Harvey, medical issue. Now Jacob DeGrom. So do we blame them at all? Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
I don't think you only blame the medical staff. I think it's a combination of both. I blame the Mets for putting him in the spot where...
Yeah, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah, like they pretended like there was no such thing as an innings limit with a guy coming off Tommy John in that kind of season where they had... I mean, do you remember that run?
It's
a special
run.
Season.
And then they want to play dumb as to why he can't get back right.
Exactly right. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why he needs thoracic outlet syndrome now, the surgery now. I can't imagine why.
Yeah, it felt like they kind of set him up for failure there, didn't it?
Yeah, because they knew they weren't going to bring him back. Like, he wasn't in their future plans. So we'll use him up, and then when we don't need him anymore, we'll just get rid of him. And now he's never been the same, and his career's been ruined.
Ruined. Absolutely ruined. It is a shell. I mean, it's almost sad to watch him pitch now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I'm wild and crazy. At any moment, $250 cash. You want to do it right now, Rick, or you want to save it for a few minutes?
No. Let the suspense build, Dave. Let it build. I like it.
At any moment.
I like you like this. I like when you're unpredictable. I like it.
I could be set off. I mean, I could do it at 6:57. I could do it at 6:44. You don't know.
And that's why you got to listen, Dave. You have to be locked in. You got to listen.
You know, there's a phrase that I created in my younger days in radio. I call it trust the speakers. Okay? And then I...
Trust the speakers!
Just the letter TTS. And if you trust the speakers, good things, in fact, will happen. And good things will come out of your speakers in the next few minutes. A chance to win $250 cash. Yes, baby. TTS. Trust the speakers!
The Utah Jazz disgust me.
Sorry. They got run out of the building in the third quarter last night, huh?
That's amazing. Amazing to me.
I know why they disgust you, Rico, but you understand what's going on with them, though, man. Donovan Mitchell ain't right. And if he's not right, that team's not going to win.
Yeah, but the other team doesn't have their best player.
I understand that, but the other team does have a superstar in Paul George that went off for 37-16.
That's playoff P, baby. That's not pandemic P. That's playoff.
No, and he's been playoff P the last three games. He's been over 30 points.
And not having Mike Conley really hurts them as well.
Yes. So,
but nothing in the stratosphere of what the Philadelphia 76ers gave you last night. Could you imagine if that was the Knicks? You blow a 26-point lead at home and almost literally gag down the stretch in that game against Atlanta with the Hawks scoring like the last, 15 points until you hit a meaningless shot with less than a second to go. What a horrendous performance from Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was awful, Dave. I mean, just when you thought the Bucks had the worst choke job in the postseason, the Milwaukee Bucks with Giannis wearing black Air Force Ones, the Philadelphia Sixers say the next day, hold my beer. Like, that was that type of performance. Like, I can't understand how it's even possible that you only have two guys make field goals in the second half of that game. Like, outside of Seth Curry and Joel Embiid, nobody from the Sixers got a bucket. Nobody?
Have we ever seen anything like that before?
I've never heard of anything like that, Dave. Like, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, nobody can get a bucket other than Seth Curry and Joel Embiid in the second half. It was absolutely ridiculous what they did. I mean, Philly will never live this. They won't live this down, Dave, if they don't find a way to be able to get out of this series against Atlanta. They won't.
It actually makes me feel better about what happened with the Knicks. A little bit. Just a little bit.
I would agree with that.
I don't feel as bad. Listen, I wasn't going to feel bad anyway, but the fact that Atlanta is proving to people that they're a good team. Like, they're up 3-2 in the series, and I know they gagged it away.
Trae Young is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Superstar status, yeah.
This is what happens, though. This is when guys, right? Like, this is when guys start to create their legacies right now. It's like, what do you do in these kind of moments? And we saw it at Madison Square Garden, and we're seeing it now. Like, this, there's a reason why they call him Ice Trae. Like, it doesn't seem like these moments affect him.
Not at
all. You feel like he's on the verge of becoming one of the faces of the NBA, right?
Ooh, God
forbid. With this postseason performance, like, it feels like he's getting to that point.
You sure you want to be a face of the NBA, or like?
I think the hairstyle.
I'm not going to take it there. I hear where you're coming from, but I'm not going to take it there.
Let's go to Daryl in the car. Good morning, Daryl. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, y'all, man. Thanks for taking my call. Man, you guys kind of touched on it right away, Rick, Dave, man. Watching Atlanta kind of makes me feel real good as a Knicks fan. Atlanta's a real good team, Dave. Trae Young, you took the words out of my mouth. Like, I picked up the phone immediately when you started talking NBA. This guy's amazing. This guy's amazing. We had no shot at beating these guys. No shot whatsoever. I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, you know, I'm a fan, so I was wishful thinking that's what it was. But these guys are good, man, and they look like they might take down Philly. So I feel good as a Knicks fan, man, and thanks for taking my call. Love you guys in the morning, man.
Appreciate it, Daryl. If I was Andrew Gundling this morning, I'm not going to work today.
Sheer panic?
Yes, but it would be more disgust and anger. Like, you blew a 26-point lead, Chris, at home.
I don't know how that happens, Dave. I don't know how that happens. And more importantly, I don't know how they get off the mat after that kind of performance.
No, because I've had it.
How can you trust yourself if you had a 26-point lead at home and you end up blowing that? How can you trust yourself? Like, going on the road in Atlanta Game 6? Good luck with that.
No. They're frauds. I told you.
But let me ask you a question, right? Because I think Doc Rivers has done a good job with this team.
Yeah, and I would agree with that.
My 26-point lead. I get it. You're too comfortable. But, I mean, it's Seth Curry is not one of the superstars on your team.
No.
Right? I mean, he had a great night.
At all, no.
No, by any means. Well, how is Ben Simmons taking one shot in the second half?
Well, he can't shoot.
But he took not one attempt?
He can't shoot. And beyond that, I think he's resigned himself to the role of just kind of being a facilitator and just letting Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and Seth Curry be the guys that get buckets. Like, that's kind of how they've evolved as a team this season. My biggest question is whether or not Ben Simmons is going to be a fit for this team long term, if you're talking about the primary ball handler for your squad not being able to shoot the basketball.
It's an embarrassment, honestly, and I mean this sincerely, because the guy was a great player at LSU.
Yeah.
And he could post you up, great around the basket, make the...
There was no question that he should have been the number one pick when he came out, Dave. No question.
Yeah. But here's my question for you guys. Is he any better of a shooter now?
No.
Years into his NBA career than the day he stepped foot on the court in this league.
It's not even that he's not a better shooter. It's his his unwillingness to actually try to shoot.
I mean, it would drive me crazy. He won't shoot. He can't shoot. He can't make free throws. It's a disaster there.
That would be a team, right? Like, if somehow Philly could find a way, I don't think Philly's going to win a championship with
no.
No.
If you could find a way to, like, if the Sixers could get Dame.
Oh! Oh.
If you put Dame Lillard with Joel Embiid, that would be a scary combination.
Think about what that Eastern Conference Finals would be with the Sixers with Dame going up against the Brooklyn Nets with the big three.
Listen, I think you could package Simmons and Moore to get Lillard. I don't think that's that's not a wild idea.
I'm not saying it's a wild idea. I'm just saying what kind of team that would be.
No, I don't think you guys are saying that at all. I'm just saying, like I think that you could package something with Ben Simmons to be able to pull the trigger on a deal for Lillard. I don't think that's crazy.
Like, that would be a good spot. Like, if Dame was worried about, like, trying to, you know, finally get over the hump and be a team that could win a championship, that would be, I mean, that situation. Because Embiid is, the only thing you worry about with Embiid is his health.
And how long do you think Philadelphia is going to be nice and kind to Simmons? At some point, they're gonna turn on him in a huge way.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason it hadn't happened yet is because the team is kind of taking that step this year under Doc Rivers. But if they collapse and they lose to the Hawks, the volume on that conversation this offseason is going to get a lot louder.
And it should. Guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. All right, Rick, I'm going to give you the option. I know you have observations and DHIF. Do you want us to give the money away now, right now, during where you could do it, or after? You tell me. Where do you want to go with this?
How do we want to give the money away? Here's the question. How would you like to give the money away today? Just be a caller?
Well, that's what we're doing. Yeah, it's put here as just a caller.
What if we take the first caller, and then if they answer the did it happen in Florida correctly, they win?
I'd have to turn to RJ and see if that's something he's comfortable with. So let me do that. RJ, is that... Is that something? I guess he was being literal. RJ, is it something you'd be comfortable with? Is involving the
I would be comfortable with it, but for technical reasons, which I'm not going to bore you with, it may not be possible because the phone lines are different.
Oh, see, interesting point. All right, so let's just do it whenever you want to do it. How about you decide at any point during?
So at any point, I could just jump in and say, "Here we go, it's time."
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be
ready
for it.
It is not time yet for the cash. It will be soon. It is time for Knobservations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his Knobservations. We could have called it Rick's Observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then Knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, fellas. This is a big Knobservation today. Get away some money.
I could do it right now.
Doing some knobs, some DHIF. All right, let's start with this one. You guys remember when back a couple days ago, our very own Stephen A., and we love Stephen A., said that Donovan Mitchell is the best player in the history of the Jazz organization.
Yes, Richard Jefferson, remember that statement. Yes.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson had a response. He said,
ridiculous statement.
Richard Jefferson said, stay off the weed, was Richard Jefferson's response to Stephen A. I mean, that's a little bit, I mean, Donovan Mitchell is great, but I mean, Karl Malone, John Stites.
I mean, these are two of the all-time greats in the history of the NBA. And to say that Donovan Mitchell is better than those guys is just, it's a wild statement to make.
Stay off the weed.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a prisoner of the moment. All right, next one, moving along here. Did you guys see the story in the Post the other day about David Wells hating Joe Torre?
No.
I did not.
Crazy story. So he says, I never liked Joe as a manager. He did stuff to me that he shouldn't have done to anybody. But, you know, we all knew he treated certain guys different ways. So here was one of the stories. Remember when he wore the Babe Ruth hat?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, actually, I didn't even realize this. Maybe I did. I just forgot it. So, he's wearing that hat in the game against the Cleveland Indians. So, after the first inning, Torre forced him to take it off, saying it didn't comply with the uniform standards. And then following the game, he actually fined him. Fined Wells for wearing the hat.
Really?
$2,500.
Wow. Ooh. Like an internal team fine kind of thing.
So he says to him, you're shallow. And the next day he showed up with a bunch of ones, fives, and tens and threw it at Joe Torre at his desk. The $2,500.
That's so disrespectful.
That is so disrespectful.
And he says to him, go buy some stuff for your car, a-hole.
Wow.
And then he said Torre never talked to him for the rest of the year.
Well, you know what? They did a great job of keeping that under wraps.
Okay, and how about this one? This is even crazier. So apparently he got into it one time. This is David Wells with George Steinbrenner.
Oh, God.
So in one of his starts, Wells surrendered a home run after a fan reached over the wall and, Paul O'Neill wasn't able to make the catch. Mm-hmm. So after the game, Wells went to Steinbrenner, said, you need to raise the height of the fences so this doesn't happen again. So Steinbrenner says to him, you ain't the pitcher I signed.
Cool.
And he says, excuse me? So Steinbrenner says, you ain't the pitcher I signed. And Wells said, well, if you don't like the way I pitch, why don't you trade me? And he goes, I tried. Nobody wants you.
Wow.
Love the boss's response in that one.
Wow.
Who the hell are you?
Well, then he calls him out. Then he tells Steinbrenner that he's going to fight him.
I've heard that story.
Yeah, he says that got him all aggravated. So he got in George's face, and he started calling him every name in the book. And then, so Steinbrenner's back in his face, and he goes, I'm not afraid of you. And then Wells tells him, I'll tell you what, old man. I'm going to go put some ice on, and if I come back and you're still here, I'm going to beat the blank out of you.
Yeah, I've heard
that's how
that
it's going to be.
Could you imagine that if David Wells went after George Steinbrenner?
No, but they finally made up, but that's craziness, man.
Wild stuff. But, if you would have said to me without the name, what player do you think this was?
Oh, David Wells. No question about it, Dave. No question about it.
All right, this is for you, Sandy. You're going to love this.
Should I do money now? No.
No. Resident Cowboys fan. So Kyler Murray, who grew up in Texas, was asked why he wasn't a Cowboys fan growing up. Let's listen to what he said.
You got to be a Cowboys fan.
No? They were always ass.
Yeah.
What a great man he is. I might buy a Kyler Murray jersey, actually. He gets it.
I felt the way when I heard this comment from Kyler Murray, though, because I'm sure that some of those teams that he was probably referring to, I was on them. Like, I was with the Cowboys 2005 through 2007. Like,
it's a fair point.
Like, I feel like that's, a roundabout way of taking a shot at some of my guys. I don't like it.
All right, next one up. Here's another crazy story. So, Cristiano Ronaldo was doing a presser at the Euro 2020, right? And there was two Coca-Colas at the desk. He decided, no, I don't drink this kind of stuff. So he pushed them away and asked for water. Because he did that, the stock value, the market value of Coca-Cola dropped $4 billion.
$4 billion.
Yep.
How is that possible?
Because he pushed away the Coke. And people are like, well, if Cristiano Ronaldo doesn't drink Coke,
but it's $4 billion because one guy didn't want Coke?
Well, yeah, the share price dropped by 1.6%, like right soon after he did it. So the market value went from $242 billion to $238
billion. Wow. Well, Coca-Cola has a chance to win $250 in the next couple of minutes. So they should certainly pay very close attention to that.
That could make up for their losses.
Really save the company.
All right, here's one of the most asinine things I've ever heard in my life. I get it. Like, you're trying to speak to the fan base and how much you love being on a team. But this is what Derek Carr had to say about potentially ever leaving the Raiders.
I've said it over and over again. I probably quit football if I had to play for somebody else. I am a Raider for my entire life. I'm going to root for one team for the rest of my life, and it's the Raiders. I think we can all agree that if we were able to pull it off and win a championship here, that would feel much better than just piling a whole bunch of great players together and figuring, joining up and doing it that way. I'd rather go down with the ship, if I have to. When I sign a contract, I completely, in my mind, have to fulfill that.
The
only problem is he ain't the captain of the ship. It's John Gruden. And he's got eyes for other quarterbacks.
I'm just saying. Stop it. But come on, stop it. Saying when I sign a contract I expect to be there is one thing. To say if I had to play elsewhere I would retire, stop, please. No one believes that.
They try to trade him every offseason. I don't understand.
Right.
Like, If all of a sudden, listen, here's the thing. Like, if Green Bay decides, you know what, maybe we'll trade Aaron Rodgers, you don't think that Vegas is going to pick up the phone and ask if
everyone
they could be in on that?
Everyone will pick up the phone and make a call.
And then you just retire? Oh, you traded
him? And then how old is he? Come on. Then all of a sudden he's going to retire. And he played well last year. He shouldn't retire. Silly.
No, he's a good quarterback.
Silly, silly.
All right, so I'm telling you what. Like, the whole Aaron Rodgers saga, I'm kind of into it, to be honest. The going back and forth.
Okay.
He had the t-shirt on that said, I'm offended.
You see what Jay Glazer said yesterday.
He still wants out.
Yeah.
Well, how could you not? I mean, Mark Murphy just continues, like, we're going to keep this in the house. And it's like, everything he says out of his mouth. He's divided the fan base. He's an interesting fella. I mean, it's a complicated fella.
Complicated fella, yeah.
But this whole Brady, Mickelson, DeChambeau, Aaron Rodgers, we're getting some good sound from this stuff. So this
was them
going back and forth. This was Brady and Rodgers going back and forth.
I do think you do have a partner that would probably have liked to go for it a little more often than he has in the past. So, Bryce, I'm glad you're encouraging him to kind of go for it when it's on the line. So rather than, you know, just knock into the fairway or something like that and try to play for the next shot.
Yeah, I'll never push anyone to do anything. So he can choose whatever he wants to do.
I usually don't get the option in my...
That's what I mean. You'll finally have the option, Aaron. So
he's funny.
Oh, yeah, well...
Dude, I mean, I can't imagine if I'm Green Bay, I'm trading him. But I mean, clearly, Aaron Rodgers does not like.
There's some discontent there between these two sides, absolutely.
Which sucks though, because you know, I mean, I think he likes his head coach, and you know, he loves his teammates, and they're good.
They're very good.
Back to back NFC Championship games.
Hosted the last one.
I don't know why you would try to screw up that relationship. I don't get it. Even if he is a complicated fella, like, I mean, he's still one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen. All right, Dave, are you ready or you want to wait?
I'm ready. Here we
go,
people.
All right, give it away.
Here we go, the big giveaway. 98.7 ESPN is giving away $1,000 a day over the next week. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score $250 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776. Be listening every day through next Wednesday in the 6-7 o'clock hours in the morning, 2 and 5 in the afternoon, for more chances to cash in, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. And that, I imagine, Rick, will lead us right into DHIF.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's make this quick. We don't have much time. Did this happen in Florida? Mm-hmm. A town's error resulted in one man temporarily receiving a free gift with his purchase. What was that gift? How about the town's water tower?
He got a water tower?
No, not just a water tower. It was the town's water tower. The city council made the mistake when they sold the businessman this piece of property, this parcel of land, for his small business. They didn't realize
that the water tower was on the property.
Exactly right.
Oh my god.
So he now owned the water tower. He gives it back.
Here's sell it back.
No, here's the best part about this though, is that what makes it even worse is all of a sudden now the city council members start throwing everyone under the bus. He goes, The one city council member goes, I don't know where the blame falls. We're council members and we rely on the city manager. We assume that he's done his due diligence. So they just the city manager just gets thrown right under the bus.
It's just terrible. How much did that piece of land go for? Do you have any idea?
I do. It was a $55,000 purchase.
Wow.
So this guy could shut off water to the city if he wanted now.
He owns, yeah. I mean, he owns the water tower now.
Oh, my God. He's going to... Why is water $4.99 a gallon in this city? Did that happen in Florida? Chris, you have any idea?
Dave, I think it's Gulf South, but I don't think it's Florida. If I had to bet, I would say Texas. But I'm going to say not Florida.
I'm going to say Florida. It sounds like it's just stupid enough to have happened in Florida.
Santee, Florida?
Do they even have water towers in Florida?
They do.
I'm going to flip a coin. I'll say Florida.
Oh, and that coin is correct. It was Florida.
Ah. Nice.
Congratulations, David and Ray Santiago. Well done.
How about that?
And there you have it. That is a Thursday edition of Knobs and DHIF.
Very, very well done. Much better than the open that you put together last minute this morning.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Will you open the show tomorrow in Mickey Mouse voice if the Islanders win the game tonight?
And the New York Islanders win!
Will you?
No.
Why?
Because I opened the show today and you criticized me. I'm not opening the show again tomorrow.
If I promise not to criticize you.
Nope.
Well, you're a baby.
No, so, the damage is
then you don't really care. Ultimately, you don't care that much about that.
I'm a baby. I care.
You're a baby.
No, I care a lot.
Then why
would
you
offer
that?
Too much.
Why wouldn't you offer that? Open the show in your high-pitched voice if the Islanders win and take a 2-1 series lead.
Because I'm not opening the show again tomorrow. It's a fun Friday. It'll be a celebration Friday.
Yeah.
That you open.
I will open it, and then you will give me 10 seconds of excitable Islanders Mickey Mouse chatter.
Agreed.
Okay.
Deal.
There All right, when he says excitable, Rico, I mean like when I met Bernie Williams type of excitement. Like I need that kind of
giddiness from you. Heard when he went Mickey Mouse last time. Just give me, if you give me anything like that.
And the New York Islanders win!
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to try to channel that again. I don't even know where that came from.
Oh, it's so good.
Now, see, this is not going to have to practice this now. No, I can't practice it because that's touch of the money. No,
yeah, you'd be a fraud then if you're practicing.
This is what you do, man. You put me in the worst spot. You're like,
stop.
Oh, my God.
It's got to be spontaneous, Rico. You know, it's got to be.
It's so got to
be a genuine reaction.
You know, I started that open yesterday, too. You know this happened.
What happened?
That I started the open yesterday, and you're like, oh, yeah, and that open you threw together this morning.
Yeah, I know.
No, yeah, you know. You know.
Why do you think because it's so easy to get you upset and to push your buttons. I have to do it.
I had to drive out east yesterday, which took
a dereliction
15
of duty,
hours.
You're getting dinner for someone, you drove a couple hours to pick it
up. Yes, Cassie wanted a lobster roll, so we had to go out east.
Hang on. Tell me you went to the Hamptons to get her a lobster roll.
Not just the Hamptons, Dave. East Hampton, yeah. And guess what? It was closed.
Wait, first of all, you don't check on the restaurant before you drive 2 hours?
That's what I said. No, because we were going there for the lobster roll, which was priority number one, but we were going to go to the beach, too, and let the kids play in the beach, which was awesome. Like, Miles swimming in the freezing cold water, like, that was great. But the reason we went there, as opposed to just Jones Beach, was because she wanted the lobster roll. And doesn't think that, you know, maybe I should check if this place is open. She just assumed, because we went last year, that it would be open, and guess what? Closed.
That's terrible.
And then, we're in the car, and she's driving. Because I was ordered to close my eyes and like try to take a nap on the car ride up there. Yeah, right. With her driving,
honestly, is she a terrible driver?
Awful, dude. It's like, she looks like she took a Cialis. She's that stiff. And she's like 10-2 and the hands don't move. And then it's like, I got my sister-in-law who's like, hey, listen, Cass, I'm looking at Google Maps right now and it says like, there's, you know, a 12-minute traffic jam on this road. We need to take, you know, this little roundabout. And she's like, nope, I don't trust Google Maps. We're staying this way. So we sat like an extra 20 minutes of traffic because she didn't trust Google Maps.
This sounds like it was a fun trip.
Oh, and then I have a savage sunburn on my shoulders. And now I got to make meatballs and stuff after the show today. I got to go to the grocery store. Then I got to get meatballs and and sauce. And I got to pick up raviolis. And then I got to go on the K show.
And I'm a complainer?
And then we got an 8 o'clock. Like, why 8 o'clock? Please tell me why. Why
Well, they want the nation to see. Well, I don't think that's as bad as the Bucks and the Nets are 8:30 tonight, which is like and that's a standalone game, so they'll tip that one off at 8:40.
Yeah, this is, I mean, between Tuesday and twice in 1 week, it's almost like.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
They're trying to kill us is what they're doing.
Can we get this thing going at 7:30? Yeah. I don't get it.
Islanders had that playoff game a few weeks ago at 6:30. It was
awesome.
It was gorgeous, but 8 o'clock is a little late, and God forbid it goes to overtime or 2 or 3.
Why did you say that now? Why would you go and say something like that?
Well, it's true.
These have been close. I mean, you're talking about close games, and now you want to all of a sudden bring up double overtime?
Would you sign on? You'd sign on for this right now. I'm going to give you an offer. You'd sign for this.
Yeah, listen, Rico, he's wallowing in misery right now because of the dogs, and he wants you to join him.
That's right.
That's the only reason he would bring up double overtime. That's it.
Five overtimes ends at 3:57, but the Islanders win. You would sign on for that in a heartbeat right now.
In a heartbeat, yeah, I would. But, I mean, that's for the health of the show. I don't know if that's in our best interest.
I mean, you would come on the air delirious. Which would probably be highly entertaining.
Which is pretty much what we do every single day. Like, I don't even remember half the stuff we say during the show.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, when you're operating off of 3 or 4 hours of sleep, that's kind of how it goes.
No, like, sometimes RJ plays, like, rejoins and clips, and I was like, oh, man, that's fun. I didn't even remember that. I didn't hear that.
That even happened on the show today. So, let's get into the Nets for a couple minutes, and then we'll go rapid-fire calls after that, 800-919-3776. And, of course, cash is on the horizon. You think the Bucks are done, Chris, or do you envision Milwaukee having a little fight in them tonight?
Well, I mean, I would imagine that early on the Bucks are going to come out swinging, right, Dave? I mean, you can't lay down in front of your home crowd. I mean, as disappointing as that Game 5 loss was, and as hard as it might be for them to be able to bounce back mentally, like, they got to come out and they got to give the effort. Like, they have to have the energy. If they can't do it now, then it'll never happen. But I will say this. With Kevin Durant doing what he did a couple of nights ago, I don't know how much he's going to have left in the tank. And if James Harden can't be more of a contributor in this game and not just a decoy, then I think that does open the door for the Bucks to be able to take control of this game early. And if that happens, you got to wonder whether or not Steve Nash will stay with KD and James Harden and the guys that he's going to be relying on for the rest of the way. Like, it just, I don't know, if this game gets out of hand early, one of the things I would look for is if the Brooklyn Nets as a team decide they're going to punt on Game 6 and push all their chips to the table for Game 7.
I mean, a road team hasn't won. I mean, regular season and postseason in this matchup.
Correct. And so, wonder how much does Durant have in the tank for the game tonight? And I think it's a good point, Chris. If you fall behind by 10 in the third quarter, are you playing Durant, Harden, if he's going to play tonight, you know, all in, or are you going to say, you know what, let's keep our reserves in order and rest up for Game 7?
But that's the other thing, though, too. I mean, that's what you're going to rely on. I mean, Durant was awesome. I mean, he had the 49, I mean, a historic performance, but you also needed, you know, the 27 from Jeff Green and the contributions from Blake Griffin. And those, I mean, that's not what you're getting so far in Milwaukee from those role players. So unless all of a sudden over the last day and a half, James Harden's hamstring has had, taken a huge turn in a positive direction where he can actually start, attacking the rim to make himself a threat that way, then I don't know. It feels like Milwaukee will force a game seven is the feeling.
I would think so as well. You agree, Chris? We're in agreement. And not only do I think that Milwaukee wins, I think they hammered Dennis tonight. I think they beat him by 15 plus. Yep.
Wow, 15 plus.
15 plus. Chris, where are you going?
I'm going Milwaukee, although I think it'll be a lot more competitive than you seem to think.
Rick?
I would go Milwaukee. I just said it. I would go Milwaukee.
But big, confident, like a throttle? I'm saying throttle.
Well, because I think what you guys were just talking about is that, Milwaukee at some point has a big enough lead where Steve Nash is saying, let's get Durant and Harden some rest so we're ready for game seven.
Yeah, but even with that, Rico, I question the heart of this Milwaukee Bucks team, though. Like, I don't know how much interest they have in coming back to Brooklyn for game seven. Like, what's their appetite? You know what I mean? I just don't know. I don't know. I don't trust Milwaukee.
All right, so you guys both think a close game, I think a blowout. Is it fair to say that or no?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't think it necessarily be like that. I mean,
it's not going to be close like it was the other night.
I'm not saying it may not be a last possession game, but
give me a score. Give me a score.
No, I'm not doing score. You're saying 15
plus. Why? Because then you're going to stress out all game long, right?
Exactly right.
You are. I mean, you are just a treat. You really are. All right, well, I'm going 15 plus, and I'm going on the record that I think Milwaukee hammers the Nets tonight.
Okay, you want to score, Dave? I'm going to give you 112-107.
Thank you.
Bucks.
See, that's a man with conviction. And you know what, Chris? You won't give it a second thought.
No.
Right?
No.
No, and nor should you. Yeah. Rick, come on. Play the game, Rick.
No, I got enough to worry about tonight. I got enough to worry about. I'm not going to start dipping my toe in this, too.
Such a baby. Going 107-91.
107-91.
107.91.
Wow, you got big ones today.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.